Good morning. Welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It is your friend James Shaw, and I'm so glad you've woken up to be with us this morning. Happy Friday. It's really great to see you. You know, something we have done, we have played America's Favorite Game Show now for probably a year. Most of you played it pretty poorly, and we just kind of got into our rhythm, and it's all the rage, and everything's great, and then boom, it's like Stephen Colbert. We're just taking off the air right at the top. And that's what's happening to Next Question. It's canceled. It's over. It's gone. No more Next Question. And it's being replaced with America's new favorite game show that it doesn't know that it needs. And it's a really good one. And it's called Next Objection. Next Objection is the name of America's new favorite game show. And here's how Next Objection works. If you cannot explain your objection in less than 10 seconds, it's too complicated. It is too complicated. So you got to be able to explain your objection in 10 seconds or less. If you go over 10 seconds, I'm moving on to the next person. So it cannot be too complicated. Now you also got to know this is not next condition. This is next objection. So come with actual objections, something that has stumped you, that has been an objection you can't overcome. And then we'll take the top three objection handlers off the board. Now the other next rule is, we're not talking about fees in here, y'all. Fees are negotiable between you and your client. So we're not going to come in and talk about negotiating our fee. That's not an objection we're going to handle. But we're going to handle the objections that you're hearing in the real world today, and you have to be able to explain it in 10 seconds or less. And then we will take the top three objection handlers off the board. So Shannon Dixon, next objection.
Good morning. Okay. Live listing. Beautiful house. The outside is very busy. Lawn ornaments, all the feedback is coming in. De-busy the front of the house. And the seller says, that is silly. I'm not doing it.
Okay. You barely got that in. That was 12 seconds. I'll let you go over because you're our first one. You're welcome. All right. So now we're going to take the top three objection handlers off of the board. So that means if your hand is up right now, you have your hand up to overcome Shannon Dixon's objection of, you got to clean up the front yard if you want to sell this house because nobody wants to look at that crap. That's what we're doing. Olivia. All right, it's officially been zero consecutive Fridays since we have played Next Objection correctly, but we'll get after it again next week. Let's keep going. Elaine.
Help me understand. What's important about those lawn ornaments? Yeah.
Shannon, role play with her. Go.
I like them. They make me feel good, and I think they're pretty.
So how certain are you that other people agree with that?
I don't care what other people agree with. It's my house and they're my lawn ornaments and I love them. And it's silly.
I completely understand you love those lawn ornaments. And believe me, there are some people that would absolutely love those lawn ornaments. But how open-minded are you to removing them for the next 2 weeks so we can at least see what other people might think?
I suppose that would be okay, but...
Terry, you're next. Go.
Okay, so Shannon, I absolutely love, love, love your ornaments. They are so stinking fun. Let me ask you a question. Is it more important to have your lawn ornaments up or be able to get your home sold for top dollar and put those awesome lawn ornaments up at your next place?
Well, getting the home sold.
Yeah. Awesome. Let's do that. Let's respond to the feedback and get your home sold for top dollar.
Oh, there we go. We're going to stop right there. Terry, nice job. Now, we don't have any other hands up, and I don't overcome the objections. But if I did overcome the objections, Shannon, when you said, it's my house, I like my lawn ornaments, I said, well, do you want to keep your house?
Yeah, okay.
Do you want to keep it as your house, or you want someone else, you want it to be somebody else's house? And then I'd kick you. Probably is what I would do.
That's not a philism, James.
I know it's not. I know it's not. I know it's not.
Thank you, everyone.
You don't have to do all of Phil's questions. Sometimes we can speed it up a little bit.
Thank you.
Shannon Dixon, thank you so much. See, that's how Next Objection is going to work. So every Friday, you get to bring your objection like this. We have time for more. So get your hand up if you have an objection. And then you'll get to do a little live role play as we take the top three answers off of the board. Valerie, good morning. Next objection.
This is in a super hot market. Husband is out of town. Wife says, I don't want to write until my husband gets back. It's a hot house. It's going to be gone.
Super hot market. Husband's out of town. Wife sees a house she thinks will fit, but she doesn't want to make the offer until the husband comes back. But by the time the husband comes back, is going to be gone. Cindy, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I understand your husband wants to be in it, but how would you feel if you wake up tomorrow morning and that house is not here? So what I suggest is we write a contingent offer that your husband sees it till he comes back, because I would hate for you to have that regret forever. We know how long you've been looking.
Valerie, keep going. What's your response?
The problem is we're not writing contingent offers in Oakland right now.
So what? That's hard because I don't know if you can get out during inspections, but So
Now I would just ask, well, who cares what they're doing in Oakland right now? Go write one and see what happens.
Right.
Worst scenario, they say no.
Exactly.
Worst scenario.
Masha, do you have another objection handler? Go ahead, friend.
Yeah, so I was just going to ask, would you and your husband be open to the idea of perhaps a virtual tour? Because that way he would be able to see the house. You could answer any questions he had, but you would be able to get into the house before a whole lot of buyers come in this weekend and possibly write an offer before he comes back into town. Does that seem like something you might be willing to talk to him about?
Yeah, definitely. We could FaceTime.
Let's see if we could do that so we could get in before everyone else does and potentially get you guys the home you'd really like to buy. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that's perfect. That's probably where I'm going with this.
I love that. I don't answer the objections, but if I did, I would ask. So, Valerie, do you feel like that this is the perfect home for you and your husband?
Yeah, I know she does.
No, you're her.
Yeah.
Do you
yes,
feel like
I
this
do.
Is the perfect home for you and your husband?
Yeah, it's a great neighborhood, and I feel safe coming here late at night.
You think your husband trusts you, too, in this?
Yeah, I know he does.
Yeah. Okay, so what is important to you about your husband seeing it? Or is it something that's important to him, or is it something that you think is important to him?
I just, he's part of the process, of course, because we're married, and I just want to make sure, because he has to live there too, that he's happy with the choice I made.
If you called him and said, honey, and maybe you've done this already, but you called him and said, honey, I have found the perfect house. It's going to go quick. What do you think if we write an offer on it right now? Have you asked him that question?
Not yet.
Okay, and if you did, what do you think his answer might be?
I know he trusts me to buy the house.
All right, let's call him and see what he thinks. And if he says, let's do it, then let's do it. And if he says, I don't know if I want to move that quickly, then let's see what other options are. We could show it to him by video. We could write an offer that's contingent on him seeing it and agreeing to purchase it. We'll see what our options are. But if he says, let's do it, then let's do it so you don't miss out on this house. Does that work for you?
That sounds great.
All right, there we go. See, I don't answer the objections, but if I do, I'll give you bad answers like that. Here we go. Next objection, John Tramble.
Good morning. Hey, I got 5 kids and 3 dogs and a roaming cat that comes by every now and then. I only want to show my house on Thursdays between the hours of 12 and 5. That way I can get all the kids out of the house, clean up after the dogs, everything. So showings only on Thursdays.
Showings on Thursdays. How do y'all handle this when a seller says we want limited amount of showings? Limited amount of showings. What's your objection, handler? Let's get some hands up. Julie Hess, good morning.
Oh my goodness, I love this one. We had this one time, and so what we did, because they had 4 big dogs and a deranged cat that was in a large cage. So I said, you know what? If you're open, would you be open-minded to a one-day sale? We did a one-day sale. It was from 12 to 4, only day that anybody and everybody can get into it. Agents gave me a little bit of kickback, but it was like, hey, this is the only thing we can do. And we had 5 offers. We sold it. Do a one-day
sale. One-day sale requires you, I imagine, to price pretty aggressively. Is that correct?
Pretty aggressively and a lot of marketing. And it was great. It's what we had to do.
Telly?
So, John, tell me something. How important is it for you to get your home sold?
Well, we want to get it sold so we can get something a little bit bigger.
Okay. And how soon did you want to get something bigger?
Well, it'll be cool if we can get it sold by Christmas so we can have all the Christmas decorations up and the kids can see all their presents under the tree.
How would it feel if by chance you were to make that happen so that you could have Christmas in your new home?
That would be great, but I can't get people in the house and do everything and make it show ready except on Thursdays.
Could it be possible that if by chance you were to take away for a weekend that we could make all of that happen and I could do as much marketing, get my cleaners in and make everything happen so that you could be celebrating and saying Merry Christmas in a new home?
Kelly, that would be great. Are you going to pay for the hotel room?
I'll find you a good deal. You can tell me if that works.
Okay.
Beautiful. All right, let's stop there. Good job, Telly. Marilyn Burke.
Hey, this doesn't have to be a problem at all because we did the Matterport tour. And so we're going to show that house on the 3D link so the buyer can walk through just like they're live in color. So you don't have to worry about not being able to show it on that Thursday or anytime because it's really a 24-hour showing. So what, do you have any other concerns other than that?
Well, what do I have to do for the 3D link and the photographer or whatever you call it, cinematographer, to come through?
You don't have to do anything because we already took care of it when we did the photos at the beginning. So that's your secret weapon. You have that in the portal. I'm just going to upload it and I'll send it right over to the buyer. So you don't have to stress about showing the house when you're not ready. Now, in the event that someone has to see it live after they look at the Matterport, you and I can talk about some possible strategies where I come a little bit early, I'll clean it up and help you get it ready, and then we'll just do a short visit. How does that sound?
That sounds great, Marilyn. Thanks.
Nice great job. Those are three great objection handlers right there. Now, John, I don't answer the objections. But if I did in this case, I'd say, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, you've got two options. I think you've got two options. Now, this is going to, by the way, lean to kind of what Julie said and what Telly said. You got two options. Number one is you can price it in such a way that we can sell it in a couple of days and we're not worried about a whole bunch of showings over a long period of time. And in order to do that, you need to be priced right here. And I think if we price it right here, we get it sold very, very quickly. Option number two is to treat your home like a more traditional listing and price it at this spot, might be a little bit higher, and allow the market to figure out the timing about when it's going to sell or something like that. I think I'd present maybe two options, but that's just my idea. Well done. All right, Neva White, next objection.
Okay, yes. The seller isn't expired and he decided to rent instead of resell.
All right, so we're going to find out now. This could be a condition or an objection. We're going to treat it as an objection, and in the process, you'll find out if it is a condition. So we have a seller who had an expired listing who's now decided to rent. Who's got our objection handlers? Let's go. Hands up. Go ahead, Tanya Bird.
What do you understand about being a landlord?
I understand that it's a passive income.
That it's what?
Passive income.
Oh, yeah, it can be a passive income. Have you studied the market to know what your cap rate and cash flow is to see if it's the right decision?
I paid off the house, so I only have to pay the taxes.
Okay, well, so you might have good cash flow, but what do you understand about cap rate?
I'm not 100% sure. I just know that I'll be making money.
Okay, well, would it be good if we met and we went over cap rate to make sure that this is truly the right decision? Because if it's truly the right decision, then becoming the landlord is the way to go. It's a way to build wealth. But let's meet first and determine your cap rate.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Nice job. Nice job. Erica?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. So, just out of curiosity, how certain are you that renting is the best plan of action for you to be able to move on with your future plans?
Well, my first option for selling didn't work. So, plan B.
Okay. And I can appreciate that because unfortunately, there are several, more than 50% of properties in this area end up on the expired list at this time. So can you help me understand what specifically didn't work?
I'm not 100% sure. I'm not a realtor, so okay. I work with the realtor. It didn't work out. I had my home on the market all year. So now I'm frustrated, and now I just want to rent it out.
Yeah, and I'd be frustrated too. An entire year is a pretty long time. And how important is it for you to actually be able to sell this home?
It will be important to me so I can have the money, but if it's not the right time, God's time.
Yeah. And, God does essentially have the final say always, but could it be possible that maybe you just didn't have the right realtor to help you sell your home?
That's a possibility.
Yeah. And how would you feel if we just kind of looked at what worked, what didn't work, and possibly come up with a different plan of action to get your home sold in this market?
I will be open to that.
Perfect. Okay. Nice job. Karina, you're next. Good morning.
Out of curiosity, what do you know about being a landlord?
I know that it's passive income.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, how are you going to vet the people who want to put in an application to rent?
I'm going to either use Zillow or I might consider hiring a property manager.
That's a great idea. Now, let me ask you, who's going to show this property to those people who are thinking about putting in an application?
I'll show it. I'm not that busy, so I can show it.
So you don't work, you don't have any obligations at home?
I mean, between all of my family members that live in the house, we can make it work.
Really? Oh, okay. So somebody calls you at like 10 o'clock in the morning and they want to see the house, they would be able to?
I mean, depending on the day, if it's the weekend, we can make it work. But I think, you know, between my wife and everybody in my house, we could make it work.
Okay. So are you going to make it work when the hot water heater goes?
No.
No. So what do you have a plan for that?
Well, I believe my wife did have a home warranty on that. So I'll just check that. But like I said, I own the house free and clear. So, you know, if it didn't sell the first time, you know, I'm going to try the plan B, which is rent it out.
Okay. Plan B. So once plan B doesn't work, are you going to plan C? And what is plan C?
I haven't gotten that far.
Okay. Okay. Well, I will tell you from past history of people I know who have tried this, it hasn't really worked in the long run. They ended up having to replace things, have tenants who didn't stay, had tenants they had to kick out. So those are all things that you need to think about. If that's something you want to do, that's perfect. But I highly suggest that we sit down and show you my marketing plan. And if you don't like what I say, you go rent that baby.
Okay, thank you so much. I look forward to meeting you.
All right, so well done. By the way, good job, everybody. I don't answer the objections, but if I did, I would just ask some questions that we didn't get to today, which is, if you had sold this house, what would you have done next? Now, it sounds like they've already moved or purchased something and they own this home free and clear. So then I'd ask, what was your plan for the proceeds, right? The money that you were going to make off this house. Were you thinking about what ways were you thinking about using it? And can we talk about that? So I think there were lots of different avenues that we could have gone. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up the first ever day of Next Objection. And I'll tell you, I think you did it pretty well. Now, we're 0 consecutive Fridays of playing the game correctly. It's okay, but you have another chance next Friday. So think about your objections. An objection that you can explain in 10 seconds or less. An objection that is an objection, not a condition. And an objection that doesn't have to do with negotiating your fee. And we'll come through and walk through them every single Friday. Good morning. Welcome. Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. It is 7:58. Eastern, 6:58 Central here in Dallas, Texas, where I am today. I get to spend the day today with all of these great leaders from North Texas, New Mexico, and Memphis who are here for the ALC clinic. So if you're one of those people, I'll look forward to seeing you here in just about an hour. It's going to be totally awesome. It's been a great time in Dallas. I found my way out of the airport. Now, later today, I have to find my way back in so that I can get home back to Tampa. So we'll see what happens with that. Thank you for choosing to be here. I really do appreciate it. I know that there's a lot of things you could be doing this morning. You have made the right decision to be on this call as we talk about strategies to win. You know, I was perusing my local community Facebook group last night. Do you have one of these in your town? We have one for the city of Safety Harbor that is like where everyone complains that people speed and that kids are obnoxious and the music's too loud. Do you have one of those groups? Put it in the chat. Do you have one of those groups? And we do in Safety Harbor. And somebody said yesterday, they said they wanted to understand the value of working with a real estate agent because they think the real estate agent is overpaid and they are considering selling their house and they wanted people to help them get it. And woo, the 157 comments were quite fascinating. Some of you actually answered some of the questions. I did. And then I had a thought, and I think it's something we need to talk about. So we're going to do that here in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, we're going to do a couple of something goods. Hey, Dolores, we're going to start with you. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's cold here in New Jersey. Something good that really happened to me. First of all, I celebrated my 65th birthday.
No chance. That's a lie.
And I capped.
Oh, that's the first time. Oh, that's good for you. Congratulations. We're so proud of you. Well done and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Stay warm. Rebecca Wells, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I have something really good. And I know you know what I'm going to say, James. Somebody in this amazing community gifted me an opportunity to come back to Inspire for a couple months. And so I'm really looking forward to that. And that was a huge blessing and huge encouragement just at the perfect time. So thank you, whoever you are.
I saw you rejoin yesterday. And I also saw the note that you got from Anna on my team about how someone has sponsored you to come back. I didn't even know about that. You and I found out at the exact same time. I don't even know who the wonderful donor is that supported you. But we're glad you're back and looking forward to seeing you on the calls. Shannon Hodges, you get the last one this morning. Good morning.
A couple of weeks ago, someone talked about fly fishing. They went on a trip. And I went fly fishing this past week on my fall break with my little girl. We had the best time. So I just wanted to share that. It was wonderful.
Well, isn't that fun? I don't even know what that means, but I'm sure it's an exciting thing, whatever it is.
Fly fishing?
Oh, fly fishing. Oh, I know what that is. That sounds exciting. That's good stuff. Thank you so much, Shannon. I appreciate it. Sorry, everybody, I didn't get to today. We had a lot of something goods. Put them in the chat so that we know what they are. All right, let's talk about this. This is really fun. So a guy named Jeff goes into our, like, you know, the community Facebook group. Do you have one of those in your town where, like I said, everybody complains about everything? And then it's either complaints about whatever's going on and then ads for stuff you don't need, like all the local businesses putting stuff in there. It's really cute. Anyway, a guy named Jeff says to all the realtors and real estate agents out there, I have a question about the fee for selling a home. This is not meant to be confrontational or to challenge your value or worth at all. I'm just curious of the value behind that fee. We're looking at possibly putting our house on the market next year. Both our boys have moved out of our 4-bedroom and 3-bath house. It's just too large for us. And so saying that, it says, and so as we're saying that, I want to understand the fee of the value that the realtor would give us. We're not in a rush to sell and we don't need to sell. What's the downside of selling it ourselves versus paying a fee to a realtor to sell it for us? I'm not naive to think that I could close the sale myself. I'd hire a real estate attorney to do that for me. I'm just looking for the actual value of the fee. Also, we're not ready to actively look or sell, so please don't DM and ask a bunch of questions and try to get me to list with you. I'd like to keep this conversation on the thread, and I think it would be informative to a lot of people. All right, so he goes on. He's giving specific numbers, by the way, a number that many people think is a common number of a fee. And of course, I'm reminded that the fee is negotiable. There's no set fee. That's determined by him and his agent that he hires. But as I looked at it and I thought about it, I said, hold on, wait a minute. Some ain't right. This guy says he's thinking about what? His house? Selling it. What does that mean, likely? What does that likely mean? That likely means he already has a real estate agent. Because he probably had to do what? Buy the house. And when he bought the house, he probably used an agent. That's just my guess. And so he, oh my gosh, what is he not doing? He's not calling his agent and saying, hey there, we're thinking about selling the house. Help me out. Folks, you got to talk to your database. Please. You've got to be in relationship with your database. If you are in immense relationship with your database and you add value to them throughout the year, are we going in a public Facebook group and saying, explain your fee to me and the value of it and who would I use? There's no chance we would do that because we have an agent who we see value in. I want to talk today about the importance of being in a flow with your database. How many touches is the right number of touches? How do you need to show up in such a way that nobody would ever go into a Facebook group and ask for someone to justify their value if you were the one they used to buy? That's what I want to know about. How do you make sure that everybody you ever work with would never go into a group like that and say, justify the fee, and instead they'd go in the group and go, oh my gosh, if you're ever thinking about selling or buying, you need to use this person because they gave me the best value ever, and here's everything they've done in the meantime. Let's talk about it. Linda Brennan, good morning. We haven't heard from you this week.
Good morning, James. This is going to sound weird, but I think we need to be the dessert tray. So I am a person who I don't love dessert. When I go out to eat, I'm looking for steak and I'm not leaving room for dessert. However, the pictures in the menu are nice. You know, I'll see them. But then the waitress will say, well, leave room for dessert. It puts a thought in my head. Then I might see somebody at another table having dessert. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that looks good. And then, you know, then they do have a dessert tray sometimes where they bring it out and they entice us. And so maybe the next time I go back, I might say, hey, let's try that dessert. So my point is our marketing should be the dessert tray. We need to be giving them information they don't know that they need, putting those thoughts in their head, because how do people move? A neighbor lists their house, then they start saying, oh, the Joneses are moving. I wonder where they're going. Wonder what that would be like. So we put the thought in their head by providing the information and the value that, you know, they don't know they need, so that when they're ready, they call us.
Be the dessert. What's for dessert today? Let's think about it. Thank you, Linda. Proud of you. We're going to bounce around, get some voices we haven't heard from this week. Melissa, you're next. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm back from the dead. I had the flu this week, but anyways, I'm happy to be here. So it has taken years of failing forward, guys. I'm going to be the first to say that it's taken years to figure this out, and I'm still figuring it out. But we've created a plan in such a way that they don't forget that we're here, that we're always there. Like, we are in a relationship.
What's that plan, Melissa? How do we make sure that they don't forget about
you? I've got you. So we have 6 events a year, which that might freak you out, guys. Don't freak out over events. Maybe that's not your thing and that's okay. But we also have a system where they get a New Year's card. They get a, I'm a big 777 Luck of the Irish, like do contest, give out money, like do all kinds of fun things. So I have a home show in January, like a vendor expo. If anyone wants my playbook, it's fantastic and it's very low over. I don't spend any money. And so they get with my vendors if they want. And it's, the whole thought is if they want to improve their home, you know, tax returns, they have some money, or if they've been thinking about selling and it gets some conversations going as well. Also, birthdays are huge. It's so cheap to get birthday cards, guys, and just write happy birthday. You know, I'm a big person with the heart. You don't have to do a heart. But birthday cards go out. Their kids get cards. I do call my database. And you know what? There are sometimes people fall through the cracks. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't sent them a text or a call in a year. And then I quickly get on that. So you just have got to be in relationship and figure out what your flow is, because people will forget you're a realtor in 4 months. Your family will forget you're a realtor. So we also send out gratitude cards so I go heavy in fourth quarter, which it loads. We sell the most usually the first 4 months of the year. And it's just because we go so heavy with events, seeing our people. We do a lot around the community of giving back. I support several organizations. I don't know if I'm answering questions. I'm throwing out ideas, but like,
no, that's what we're here for. This is a mastermind call to throw out ideas, and then everybody can jot down what's on their mind. All right, give me a couple more, then I'm going to the next person.
Yeah. So the home show, guys, like that's the biggest, that's such a huge value add, because you're connecting them with people that you trust, because that's like a lot of us talk about wanting to be the Angie's List or be that resource. So you're connecting your vendors, like your roofer, your floor company. If you don't have these vendors and you're kind of like kicking the can right now, not sure what to do, go out and build relationships with people that work on homes, because people always are going to come to you for the recommendation. And it could be as simple as when you have this expo going, or if you're, maybe you just call your database and say, hey, I've met this awesome new flooring company. We do send out a newsletter twice a month too. That just started. It was kind of inconsistent, but we fixed that. So over here, but You can even highlight your vendors in the newsletter, but that's a big one. But just being genuine and authentic. They chose you for a reason. Just reach out. Ask how the family is or ask how they're doing. I don't know. Just like you've got to stay in relationship. And if you're like me and you realize, oh my gosh, I forgot somebody a year ago, pick up the phone anyways. Get over it. Put on a song and dance it out. You got to do it.
This goes back to what Jessica taught us in Inspire this week, folks. What Melissa's walking you through is you can go back if you need to systematize that and see what Jessica shared in Inspire this week and get on board with the system. Melissa, thank you. Tulio, you're next. Good morning.
Yes, and to talk about what Jessica does, we follow through with it as the agents on the team. We take every listing that our team has and every buyer that our team has, and we call around them. We call our past clients. We share the story of our sellers and we share the story of our buyers with each one. We send them a link from our website to the house. Sometimes we'll even send them a picture of the family and say, this is who we're working with. This is what they're looking for. Who do you know that might have what they're looking for? And we engage with our people. And another really simple thing, James, that we do and friends is, you know, I do it. I think y'all do it too, is just check their social medias before you call them as well, so you can see what's going on in their life. Okay. I don't always start off with, can you help me? I start off with about them. And it's what John Acuff taught us, you know, about empathy. To care about what the people we care about. And that's something I always go to. I think about that all the time, to care about what the people we care about and have those conversations. And then I share what I called about. So that's my share.
Tulio, that's the call outline we've been talking about forever, right? Is that this care on the front end. I was thinking about you. You're on my mind. I drove by your house the other day. It made me think of you. I saw somebody who brought you up, like whatever it was that prompted you, and have this caring piece of it, and then invite them to something, right? Melissa was big on the events, and Tulio, I know you do a lot of stuff like that too. So invite them to your pumpkin event or your pie event or your photo event that you're doing or your seminar that you're hosting or whatever your jam is, invite them to that. And then there's some sort of help aspect too. And it's either a space where they can help you or you can help them. Hey, we've got a buyer that's looking for this type of house in this area, which is the area you live in. Do you know of anyone that has a home that would work for them? Or, hey, as we get towards the end of the year and the beginning of next year, we like to keep our people updated on their home value. Is that something you'd like to receive? Or we just took a listing in the neighborhood across the street from you and we're hosting an open house. Do you know anybody who we should call to have them stop by? Like whatever you have to figure that part of it out. Like it does require some thought, but it's just this care on the front end, an invite in the middle, and a help ask on the back. And if you do that with your people 3 to 4 times a year by phone and then sprinkle in all your other touches, you won't have this dude going on the Facebook group and saying, justify your fee, please, because they'll be in such a flow with you. Inspire members, we're doing a call in December about getting you up to 75 touches minimum a year. So we'll have details on that real soon. Tulio, thank you. Donna Gilbert, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. So, you know, if you add what Tulio said and what Melissa just said, that's like the whole answer. It reminds me of what you tell us all the time. Are you talking to your people when they're not paying you? So you're doing all that, plus you're in their socials, plus you've invited them to events, you're chatting with them when they tell you what's important to them, like they're working with the Red Cross or they're doing a fundraiser at the local dog humane society or whatever. Maybe you actually go there. Maybe you actually show up in their world to support them in what's important to them. I am telling you, you start doing that with a few clients, they will never leave you because you've poured into what is so important to them and they see that as a big win.
Really smart. Donna Gilbert, thank you so much. Josie, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. Fun fact that I learned from a coach about a year ago, that people in your database, they'll forget about you every 21 days. So that was a big aha. Literally every 3 weeks, if you're not staying in communication, there's a chance that they will just kind of slip off their radar. So really think about that, right? Like if you're sending a lot of emails as part of your touch plan, which tends to be part of the plan, but with the email regulations, like it could be going into their promotional folder. So maybe they're not actually seeing those, right? If you're doing social media giveaways, that's also a great tactic. But if they don't have social media, then they're not seeing any of those. So really just kind of think about that. Like, are the people that you're reaching out to actually getting 100 touches, for example, if you have a 100 touch plan, if you're doing pop buys, but are you doing pop buys for all, you know, 700 people in your database or just your top, you know, 100 VIPs, maybe, for example, you know, your top 100 past clients. So it's not just when you're talking about the touch plan, just your past clients. It should be if you're following like the DTD2 format, right? Like all of your Mets and not the non-Mets, but it should be the Mets, the family, the past clients, et cetera. So just wanted to kind of share that tidbit. Really think about that when you're mapping it out.
I love it, Josie. I don't understand why some agents refuse to follow DTD2 and call their people. The only reason I could think we do it is because we are so in love with our own ego that we can't pick up the phone and tell people we care about them. Right. And when I ask agents, I said, what's most important to you, people or money? Josie, they always tell me people, but their actions show me it's money, because we only talk to people when they're paying us, and then we ignore them when they aren't paying us. I think you care about people, but you have to back that up. Your audio has to match your video, mm-hmm. where we just talk to our people. We just have to make the decision that we're going to talk to our people, and we're going to talk to them when they aren't paying us. And there are times we're going to talk to them where we don't ask them for a referral, and we're just going to be connected to them. And that's everybody. It's everybody that you've ever come across that you have a phone number for. Just stay in touch with them. Well, I haven't talked to them forever. Who cares? Let's just get into a flow. Stephanie, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thank you, James. I appreciate you having me on. So I definitely agree with the care calls and the touches. You know, I'm very intentional about staying in relationship with my database. It's my number one source of business. However, I also believe that at some point you have to ask for the business and be intentional about putting those seeds in their mind. I mentioned on the last call or the call before about my quarterly touches, about asking for the business. This upcoming quarter is going to be a Christmas cash giveaway. And I don't want to just call and say, hey, who do you know looking to buy or sell? I want to have a purpose and a reason that I'm asking for the referral that's incentive to them. So for me, what I do is a Google sheet, and I blast it all over social media. I text my database. I text all my internet leads. I mass text them. And I say, hey, we're doing a Christmas cash giveaway of $250. Let me know if you want to be entered. Can you do a quick call? When I get on the phone with them, I say, awesome. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm calling really quick about the Christmas cash giveaway. Let me grab some information to get you entered. I get their name. I get their phone number. I get their email address. And I get their mailing address that I put in the Google form. Then the very last question, I say, thank you so much for giving me your information. Just by answering my call today, you get one entry into the giveaway. I have one more question that could get you some more referral, some more entries. Do you happen to know anybody looking to buy, sell, or invest in the next 6 months that are looking to move, are looking to do something with real estate? If you know anybody, you get 5 more entries into the giveaway. Who do you know? And then I pause and they think about it. And this time I'm doing something different. Normally I do all of my calls in one day. This time I'm going to do it sporadically throughout the two-week period and say, okay, well, if you know anybody or think of anybody in the next 2 weeks, our giveaway is going to be on the 15th of December. You can definitely earn some more raffle tickets if you know of anybody. So I'm very intentional about asking for that business.
It's good stuff. Now check with your broker to make sure you run it in a way, if you're doing something like that in your state, that works. There's a lot of confusion about what works and what doesn't. I think a lot of you think things are legal that aren't. Check with your broker so you make sure you're running it the right
way.
Yes,
but Stephanie, Georgia, it is legal as long as it's not tied to a closing.
There you go. So just get into a flow, figure it out, and then get in touch with your people. We got time for one more. We got to go quick on it. Diane, you get the last one. Good morning.
Good. I just wanted to say, keep preaching it because we need to hear it. How often we've been on these calls and we've gone over this subject, certainly call it care calls, be in touch, DTD2. And some of us are doing it sporadically and sometimes not. Please keep going. I'm serious, James, because as you say it, you know, Stephanie has some great ideas. What if we just exercise the muscle of getting into the care calls? If you call it, it will come. And call them, it will come. Certainly you have to ask, but not every call, of course. You don't have to purpose every call. So it's the staying in touch and in, as you say, the flow. Thanks. Keep preaching it, brother.
You got it, Diane. Listen, I think we need to be reminded more than we need to be taught new things. And that's what this call, 1,300 of these we've done. We're reminding constantly. And why do I know that we need to be reminded? Because we're having the same challenges. I'm seeing the same issues come up over and over again. So I'm going to keep reminding you. That's what we're going to do. Now what we're going to do is go do an ALC clinic for the North Texas, New Mexico, and Memphis region. And then tonight I'm going to fly home, and I'll see you Monday back on the call from Safety Harbor. Thank you so much for choosing to be here this week. I appreciate all of you. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.